have a little quiz for you.
Okay. Looking around, I think we've got at least one person that can answer each one of my questions.
Ready?
Semper paratus.
Does anyone recognize that?
It's in the Coast Guard.
It's the Coast Guard motto. Do you know what it means?
It's in the book. Always be ready.
Always ready. That's correct. Always ready, always prepared. Very good.
All right, the second one's easy.
Two-word answer. What's the motto of the Boy Scouts?
Be prepared. I knew y'all would get that one. That was an easy one.
All right, this one's a little tougher now. There is a state government office in charge of disasters. They plan for coping them. They don't create them. I'll give you part of the name. Governor's Office of Homeland Security and
Emergency
Preparedness. Very good. I knew there would be enough people here. We've got a theme going on, right? Readiness. Preparedness, preparation. During hurricane season, all of us have some sort of preparation. We're all used to being ready to have to bug out any minute. We've got our bags packed, or else we have a plan for battening down the hatches and riding out the storm, right? We're used to the idea of preparing for things in our everyday lives. But are we prepared to meet our Lord when He comes? Because as good and faithful people, we are called to be just that, always ready, always prepared to meet the Lord, whether that's the end of the world meeting or just our own death, the end of the world for us. Let's look at our gospel today to see what it says to us about this. Our gospel parable uses wedding imagery. This is something that is used all throughout Scripture. The imagery of God marrying His people. So you can keep that in mind. But it's also something that's a little bit more specific. Matthew's gospel is written with a mostly Jewish Christian audience in mind. And the wedding scene he describes is typical of that first century Jewish tradition. We're familiar with a little bit of it too. Remember the scene from the Annunciation where the gospel says, when Mary was betrothed to Joseph, but before she went to live with him. You remember that? There would be a specific date in which the groom would finally go to the bride's family, and they would process joyfully back to his family and have a big party that lasted several days. Remember Jesus and Mary going to the wedding feast at Cana? This is the imagery our Lord is asking his people, his audience of that day, to call in mind. Now, the interesting thing about Jesus' parables is there's always some sort of little unexpected hook to them. The hook in this one is that the groom is delayed. Nobody knows why. Maybe he took a wrong turn somewhere. You know, maybe he met with some misfortune along the road. But the point is, everybody has to wait for him. So why was this important? Well, keep in mind, the early first century church, in fact, the apostles themselves, all thought Jesus was coming back any minute after his ascension. If you think about this, Jesus died somewhere between the years 30 and 35. The first Gospels were not actually written down until 60 to 65. So there's a gap in there where they weren't writing things because they were sure he was coming any minute. In fact, Paul's letters are written mostly in that same time period. He addresses a little bit of that thought in his letter today that we heard. They weren't sure why the delay, but they were darn sure that they needed to be prepared. Because they didn't know when that end was coming, when he was coming back. This parable speaks to us today. We still don't know when that ultimate end of the world will be. We don't know when our own death may be. That's not knowledge that we have. All this month, we're celebrating our loved ones who passed this year. Every one of them had deaths that were as unique as their lives. And I guarantee you that every one of them did not know their time was up until their time was up. So we must be prepared. Now, in this parable, we see a contrast. Five of them are called wise, and five of them are called foolish. And this contrast between wise and foolish is something that's very typical of a Jewish form of scripture called wisdom literature. And throughout it, they will show you the wise are the ones who do things that are pleasing to God or that leads one to discover God. The foolish are the ones who do things that displease God or draw them away from God. We too have to fit into this comparison. The wise ones in this were the ones who remembered the oil for the journey. We are also on a journey. Our catechism tells us that our life here on earth is a pilgrim journey of learning, learning to know, love, and serve God. And so one of the other neat things about Jesus' parables is we can pick something out that has a symbolic meaning for us today. Let me suggest to you that the oil that we have to remember if we wish to be wise, like the virgins in the story, is the oil of our salvation, the oil of chrism with which we were anointed. Just about all of us at some point were anointed with those oils, either at our baptism, confirmation, maybe the sacrament of sick, for a few of us, holy orders. That oil is a seal, a sign and a symbol that we are sealed with the Holy Spirit. Each one of us is granted access to the Holy Spirit. Our Lord promised this Spirit would be with us to guide us, to teach us along this journey. And so, if we remember our oil, remember the Spirit that dwells within us and ask Him to help us to learn, then there are opportunities every single day of our lives, no matter how short or how long, to learn a little something about God, to process, in our wisdom as we grow towards God. I'll offer you a few suggestions, and they are by no means exhaustive. When you're open to the Holy Spirit, you can come up with your own. When we see beauty, maybe in a man or a woman, or in art, or even in nature, it can teach us a little bit about that ultimate beauty that is God. When we experience love in our lives, if we're open to the Holy Spirit, if we remember our oil, then we are getting a foretaste of the perfect love, the ultimate love that is God. When we experience pain and suffering in our lives, if we allow the Spirit to guide us, it can serve as a reminder of our own brokenness and our sinful nature that God healed by the death and resurrection of His Son. When we approach the Holy Eucharist, we can remember that the bridegroom that we wait for loved us so much that He gave Himself for us, and He gave Himself to us in this form until He does come in that final, definitive manifestation of His full power and glory. So today, in this little pause that we always have right after the homily to recollect our thoughts, let us let it be a moment of preparation. Let us remember our oil and ask the Holy Spirit to stir Himself within us, to teach us, to guide us, to take us deeper into the mystery of God.